Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember as well, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Yesterday, I ended the broadcast talking about the very substantial issue of racism. And as I got talking about that, I was not able to take some calls that I thought were important calls to answer. So I'm taking the opportunity to do that on today's broadcast. One of the calls that I missed yesterday was a call from Tony, who was listening in Texas and wanted to ask about Psalm 46. Specifically, what Tony is asking about here is, what does the psalmist have in mind when he says, "Be still"? Well, to answer that question requires perhaps, especially for my audience, to know the entirety of this psalm, but I think this is good in general. When you want to know what is meant by a phrase such as, "Be still and know that I am God," it takes the discipline of reading the entire psalm within its context. And it's a beautiful psalm, particularly in the Septuagint translation of the Bible. And I recommend this, by the way. That's why I like the Orthodox Study Bible, because you have coherence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament frequently quotes the Old Testament, and when you go back to the Old Testament and you don't see coherence between the two, it can be very, very confusing. So it's very, very good, I think, to have a Bible in which the Old Testament and the New Testament are in complete union, as they ought to be. So reading from the Septuagint, this is what Psalm 46, and in the Septuagint, Psalm 45, actually says. God is our refuge. God is our power. God is a help in afflictions that severely befall us. Therefore, we will not fear when the earth is troubled, and when the mountains are removed into the hearts of the seas. Their waters roared and were troubled. The mountains were troubled by his might. The torrents of the river gladdened the city of God. The Most High sanctified his tabernacle. God is in her midst. She shall not be shaken. God shall help her early in the morning. The nations were troubled, kingdoms fell. He uttered his voice, the earth shook. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our protector. Come, behold the works of the Lord, the wonders he wrought on the earth. When he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth, he will break the bow and shatter the weapon, and he will burn up the shields in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our protector. What's interesting in looking at that psalm is you see that there are 12 verses, and those 12 verses are broken into two parts. Part one ends with, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our protector," and so does part two. So that's one of the interesting things that strike you when you ponder a psalm of such grandeur and majesty. And then you see that the psalm is an expression of our indestructible confidence in God, God who is our refuge and our strength, a certain refuge in times of trouble, in times like these times. Something else that strikes me as I ponder this psalm is the symbolism of water. On the one hand, the waters are symbolic of chaos, but on the other, they're symbolic of the tranquility that comes from communion with God. It's all a matter of context. The tabernacle. This is a beautiful insight as you ponder this psalm. The tabernacle is a type, the antitype of which is the church. And I love what Saint Ambrose, who was the humble bishop of Milan, what he said about this passage. He said, "God's help early in the morning is a prophetic allusion to the early morning resurrection of Jesus Christ, and thus it exhorts you and me to awaken, to arise from the dead, to experience, as it were, the light of Christ shining out upon us." According to the title of this psalm, and what's interesting about the title of this psalm is in the Septuagint, the title is actually a verse of the psalm, and that's how you get 12 verses as opposed to 11 verses broken up into two parts. But according to the title of the psalm, and so again, you got to pay attention to even this detail, the title. The psalm is a revelation of hidden things pertaining to the end. So the question arises, what is the end? Well, the end is not a what, but the end is a who. The end is Christ. And St. Paul, of course, makes this patently clear when he says that Christ is the mystery of God, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But not only so, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the people of God. To them, God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope in glory. It's not only Christ who is the end, but it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Before the coming of Christ, the earth was troubled by the fear of death. But after Christ's incarnation, the church no longer fears death. Why is that? Well, through his resurrection, Christ opened up the torrents of the river of gladness. In other words, God's grace and mercy to the church. Thus, to Tony's question, the psalmist urges us to be still in prayer, to be still and know that I am God in thanksgiving to our Creator who is with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. St. John the theologian tells us as much when he says, "The Word has become flesh and dwelt," or tabernacled among us, to use the psalmist's words. "And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In Christ we no longer fear death, His death and resurrection have released us from that fear. His grace has been poured out upon us. Thus, again, in answer to Tony's question, we can be still and peaceful in the certain knowledge that the I Am is among us. He is our God. He is our peace, our rest. This glorious reality is found in the New Testament authors who look back and see Christ embedded in virtually every iota of the Old Testament text. The early church continued the practice of looking for the antitype in the types and shadows of the Old Testament treasure and have embedded this repository of riches in the liturgy of the church. And therefore it is quite fitting that according to the liturgical calendar, this very psalm, the psalm referred to by Tony, is prayed on Nativity Eve. Coming to the station break, I've got another very important question that I'll answer when we come back from the break.
If you feel that continuously standing for truth occasionally takes its toll on your spiritual batteries, welcome aboard. You're not alone. For a wonderful battery charger for you and your loved ones, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll return with more of Hank Hanegraaff in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers for our own time. His reliance on the church's apostolic canon, creed, and clergy shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualist approach to Christianity. Other topics include the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, faithful living through COVID-19, winning the fight for religious freedom, the beauty of worship, aesthetics, and truth, Vocation and Performance and T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, Atheism and the Burden of Proof, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As I mentioned at the outset of the broadcast today on Monday's show, yesterday's show, I wasn't able to get to some very important questions. One of them was a question from Casey, who was listening on the web in Lexington, Alabama. Casey's question was regarding the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, specifically whether or not the gathering and burning is in reference to the return of Jesus Christ. Well, again, as I did with the first question today, let me read the actual parable. Christ's words are always majestic, and they bear repetition over and over again, so they become part of the warp and woof of who you are. Our Lord said this in Matthew chapter 13, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and then went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The servants of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat along with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" That is a poignant parable. Of parables such as this parable, St. John Chrysostom says that no one will be able to empty the parable of all of its substantial wealth. Such is the nature of this abundance. The deeper you dig, the more divine thoughts will gush forth. Why? Because it is a never-failing spring. The first thing that I thought of when I reread this parable today is that in response to Casey's question, we ought to talk about the nature of parables. That parables are word pictures that reveal spiritual verities. That through parables, Christ uses the circumstances of our daily lives and gives us glimpses through the prism of the parable of our Creator of whom Isaiah says, "His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways, well, they're not our ways." As such, you can see that parables are proverbs and riddles. I think right now of what is written in the first chapter of the Proverbs. "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles." Here you have Solomon describing a parable as a proverb and a riddle. But parables are not only proverbs and riddles, they're also allegories. And his allegories, they contain hidden meanings, ways through which the wise in all of us as Christians ought to become wise, ways through which the wise may grasp the mysteries of the kingdom. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to grasp the mysteries of the kingdom because we are designed for kingdom living, not only in this life as co-consummators of the kingdom, but also in the life that is to come, the everlasting kingdom. And these allegories reveal truth, but truth only to those whose hearts are prepared. So let me sort of elucidate three things that I see here. The first thing is the picture of the seed of Satan being sown amongst the seed of Christ. In other words, you have lies amongst the truth. You have false prophets amongst faithful prophets. And as always, the devil, he doesn't reveal his deceptions in their naked deformities. Why? Because if he did, no one would buy into them. Instead, he gives us the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It looks so good, but the inner parts are rotten, sort of like the tares. And so the second thing I see in all of this is a warning. Just as the enemy sowed the seeds while the master's men were sleeping, well, that's a picture of the devil who sows seeds of discord and disinformation while the body of Christ is asleep and lethargic. And this is one of the dangers of the church today. We are asleep. We're asleep in so many different ways. You think about this. I was reading a statistic just yesterday, given to me by a dear friend, of 10,000 churches that have closed in Korea. 10,000. 10,000 churches, think about that, closed their doors. Virtually every week, maybe every day in Great Britain, a church closes, becomes a pub or some other enterprise. John Dickerson, who I've had on this broadcast, talks about the great evangelical recession. And we're sort of whistling as we walk by the graveyard. The church is dying and it desperately needs reinvigoration. How is that going to come? Well, it's only going to come when we start to see the mysteries of the kingdom. And the chief mystery of the kingdom is the Eucharist. That is the center of the universe for the body of Christ. For by the Eucharist, by the pure body and the precious blood of Christ, we are empowered to do what we could never do on our own, and that is to transform the world, but to do it as transformed people ourselves, people whose circuitry has been rewired. Well, that's a bit of a tangent. Let me get back to Casey's question. The binding of the tares into bundles to be burnt. Yes, Casey, is a reference to the condemnation of the tares upon Christ's coming in judgment at the end of time. The Nicene Creed is emphatic in this regard. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. I always think of the words of Jesus Christ in this regard. He said, "Do not be amazed at this time, because the time is coming when all who are in their graves are going to hear his voice and then come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." And I hope that doesn't wash over you like a quick rain, but that you soak in those words and recognize that what we do now counts for all eternity. That Christ's words about wheat and tares are parabolic, but they are parabolic towards a reality, and that reality is all of us will spend eternity either in the presence of God or separated from His goodness, His glory, and His grace. Well, two important questions that came up on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, as always, Monday through Friday, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And please, if you can, go to the web and look at the resources that we have selected especially for you to equip you, to inoculate you in an age of disinformation and misinformation available for your support. These resources, you can find them on the web at equip.org, or again, when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI. And give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.